Today, Marion McPartland's guest is world-class composer, pianist, and bandleader, NEA jazz master Chick Corea. When this program aired in 2002, he had already accumulated 11 Grammy Awards, and as of 2012, the number was 18. Chick has been a major force in creative music for well over 40 years. Whether fronting his acoustic band or electric band, his improvisations and sense of fun are as inventive as ever. Now, Marion McPartland and Chick Corea.
You just keep on coming up with new and different things, and I'm sort of stuck back there in that Windows and Light as a Feather and those things. You know, I love all those things.
Nevertheless,
I'm listening to the new trio. That's a pretty interesting bunch of tunes, and they're all new, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, for pianists and jazz, the trio is kind of a classic unit. You know, I love to keep returning to it. And so when you find new partners, it brings out different things in me. In fact, that's one of the main things that keeps me going, period, is I find new musical partners. And it brings out different sides of me. I find different ways to make music with them, you know.
Well, because they're doing their thing, too. They're different people, and they get to say something, too, right?
Absolutely. That's how I very, very much like it that way, so that they feel free to bring all of their creativity to, on stage. And then I get inspired and find all kind of new things.
I think it's great to have a group where they're not just accompanying, you know, they're being part of the group and they can do their thing and contribute to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, isn't it true that in jazz, the spirit of freedom and being yourself and being creative is real important?
Well, that's jazz, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That is the crux of the whole matter.
Yeah.
So and you did a solo album of standards. So I'm glad you went back to that standards for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you still do them.
Oh, I've never left standard tunes. I grew up on them with my dad showing me these tunes. I used to go out with him on what they called in Boston casuals.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He used to go out and play dances and coming out parties and debutante balls and that sort of thing. And I'd go out with him and play a whole set of tunes, all of those beautiful tunes from the 40s and 30s and 40s, you know.
It's funny, you still got your Boston accent. I love that. Parties?
Yeah, parties. No, you could have put a D in there, like parties.
But now you're from Chelsea.
Chelsea,
part
Mass.
Of Boston. Yeah.
Chelsea, Massachusetts. It's right outside of Boston.
And I read somewhere they're going to name a street after you.
This year was really something. I'm telling you, lots of things have been happening in my life since my last birthday.
Well, you know, you're just on to more and better things all the time, and now the world has changed a bit, but nevertheless, you know, the music still goes on, and I think we need music more than ever now at this point, especially your music. We've got to have lots of that.
I really agree.
Why don't you play something?
You want me to play something? Well, what about, let's see.
Piece of yours.
I thought I'd play this little composition I play sometimes when I play solo that I wrote. It's actually one part of a five-part suite that is called Lyric Suite for Sextet. And I wrote it for myself and Gary Burton on Vibes with a string quartet. And we recorded it in the 80s sometime. But it's a little portrait of Brazil, and it's called Brasilia.
Lovely.
Yeah?
Can't wait to hear that.
Okay. Thank you.
I love it. Boy, that's like a classical piece. That's something you would play at a classical recital, isn't it?
You should hear it with the string quartet. It's really nice. There's little parts where we take the structure and improvise with it, you know. It's basically written.
And I love the, I don't know what you call it, but the close proximity of the chords. I mean, they're almost like falling over each other.
Oh, little clusters.
Clusters. Yeah. I mean, it's very attractive, and you must have these in a book, I guess, don't you?
This one's written out, yes.
I would think so, because mm-hmm. I would hate to try to transcribe that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But you must practice quite a bit to carry off those things with such clarity.
Well, I get a lot of practice when I play my solo concerts, you know.
In other words, you're practicing on the gig.
Kind of. And then when I write music, you know, that challenges me as a pianist, then I have to, of course, practice my own parts. But the thing that really got me practicing recently was the challenge to play Mozart piano concertos.
So you're doing that too?
Yeah.
I hate you. You're doing it out there in public and Carnegie Hall and things?
I am. I recorded two Mozart piano concerti with Bobby McFerrin conducting the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra.
That takes work.
That took work. I must admit that took and still does take work. I put my little toe into testing the Mozart waters, and then I kind of got drawn in like quicksand. I love his music, and I consider it like sort of a pianistic base for me, along with Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk.
Well, but, you know, Mozart is terribly exposed. I mean, if you play one wrong note, you're done in.
Well, that's what they tell you, you know, and you have to get past that and sort of play the music like a lead sheet, like we play a song, you know.
In other words, you've got to have an attitude about it.
Absolutely.
Because with me, I would be a nervous wreck and I would be thinking, oh, here comes a part I can't play, and then sure enough, I wouldn't play it.
No. You have to get around that, otherwise you'd become a nervous wreck, you know.
Yeah, well, I did become a nervous wreck because I used to play the Grieg.
Mm.
And, I mean, you can fool around with that. You can sort of hide.
Yeah.
But I would be a nervous wreck. I'd be afraid I'd have a memory slip. And,
well, it is a demand to play a lot of written notes for us jazzers, you know. Well,
more power to you, because I quit. I became cowardly and I just played some other stuff. Anyway, I don't know, so many things to ask you, but I just want to hear more. You mentioned Monk. What about, that's one of your people that you love.
Oh, okay, something by Monk, huh?
Could be.
Let me try. You know, I was gonna play, there's a few of them. I tell you what, you take a choice. I was going to play either Monk's Dream or I was going to play Monk's Mood, which is a ballad. This one.
Hey, that would be nice. That would be nice because his ballads are so interesting.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the man is so many-faceted. No, I'd like to listen to that.
Okay, this is for you, Marion. This is Monk's Mood.
Great.
Thank you.
you know, Monk is so, I mean, there's that tune that you just played, and then he can turn around and write Round Midnight, and then Hack and Sack and some of these, I mean, it's never ending, either quirky or very romantic or everything else in between.
Yes. I think he epitomizes American songwriting in a way because he's taken the song form. Most of his tunes are 32 bars, not all of them, you know, like with a bridge, two themes and they repeat and so forth.
But, that's true.
But his tunes are memorable.
Yes, they are. But, you know, when you hear him play a Duke Ellington tune or something, that would get strange. He would do such weird things harmonically, but yet it all, somehow it seemed right. It just seemed like no matter what he did, it turned out right.
Remember he would...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, to me, I mean, that was just humorous, but it was great. Well... Still thinking about Monk, I mean, when you were starting out, did you just learn these tunes off records or do you just learn them by osmosis? Undoubtedly, you have great ears, but...
Well, the Monk's music particularly, I learned his tunes kind of gradually through the years because I started listening to Monk when he was pretty much first making records. So and he was writing tunes. I was younger than him, but I was around while he was writing tunes. So as his new records came out, I'd learn the new tunes.
I used to go down there to the Five spot, and they had this terrible piano, and he would get up and do his little dance. It was amazing to sit there and watch all that stuff.
What an entertainer, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, people said, oh, Monk's crazy. He's not crazy. He's just entertaining you.
Well, I think that's probably true. I think he probably was not at all crazy.
No.
Well, there's a lot more to come with Chick Corea. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. When I think about it now, this is your third time on Piano Jazz. You were one of the first guests.
Oh, really?
And I was like a kid in the candy store with who I would call up to have on the show. And, of course, you were one of those. But then I got very nervous thinking about your tunes. And I sat down and tried to take that little lick that you played on Matrix. And you played something like... or something in the middle, and I got that down, and then you came in, and you said, I don't play that. I just do my own thing.
Right, because that wasn't a written part. That was
a written part, but I thought it probably was. And I had some student at the Eastman School transcribe it for me because I couldn't seem to get it.
Oh, right.
And I got it down and learned it. And then, you said, you don't have to play that.
thanks, Marian.
But thank you. Since then, I have played that tune many times, and I have played my own thing in there because it's a good up tune to play on. Do you still ever play some of those earlier things?
Well, I reunite with those partners of mine and get to play some of those pieces from the 60s. And it's still a lot of fun. I mean, we can recreate anything. I think time and chronology In terms of how things get created is kind of an illusion, you know. It's that kind of thing where like, we haven't seen each other for a lot of years, right?
Right.
But then we come in the same room with one another, and time is not existent.
No.
There's Marion, there's Chick, you know.
I know. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I imagine getting together with them again now. We're all older, and don't you find that maybe they play differently or better or different things on those same tunes?
There's a certain essence of the person that is there and recognizable. You know, I don't know what to call it. His personality musically, and fortunately, a lot of the partners that I've had and that I see through the years, you know, we tend to improve. You know,
I would say so.
You know, it's amazing.
But that, I remember thinking at the time that came out that Roy Haynes, you know, being an older guy, I mean, he's always been up there and he's like on the edge, and where other people have sort of settled into their thing, mm-hmm. and stayed there, Roy never has.
He's an incredible monument to creativity. He's,
yes, isn't he?
At the age of 76, he's still playing as powerfully as ever.
I know, playing all those crazy ideas and things.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, listen, crazy ideas. Why don't we have a go at a duet of some kind?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'd love to do on your trio record? You did a Fats Waller tune, Jitterbug Waltz.
Mm.
And I don't know. For some reason or other, I never play that thing. I would love to.
Oh, okay.
I hope I can.
Oh, let's try it. Do you play the little intro, or do you start right on the tune?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the intro is like this.
Oh, well, no, I don't, but we can do it.
Something
I know.
Like that.
I mean, I know the intro, but or at least I've heard it. You know, you can play that, and I'll play the rest of it.
Shall we?
Should we just wing it or not talk about it or see how it goes? Or
yeah,
what?
Let's see how it goes.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
well, you must have gone into your Fats Waller archives and pulled out a few of his tunes to play.
You know, I've only scratched the surface with Fats. I've listened to some recordings, and I love his whole thing. But Jitterbug Waltz is so well known and so famous. I finally asked my my friend and saxophonist in my band, Steve Wilson, to show me the tune. So he wrote it out for me, and I immediately started to figure out things to do it, and finally did it with the trio, like you said.
No, it's really nice. I mean, I think that was the second cut on the CD. As soon as we got to that, you know, I thought, oh, this is... I mean, it's an unusual tune to do because a lot of people don't pick that particular tune. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. It's got a sort of Fats kind of humorous quality to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's very light and bright.
Yeah, it is. He has some wonderful tunes. I mean, when you think about Ain't Misbehavin' and Honeysuckle Rose, he's got a lot of other ones.
Yes.
But, come to think of it, so have you. I mean, you've got, you probably don't know this, but years ago, I went to this piano roll place, QRS, and I put Crystal Silence on a piano roll.
Hmm. So, you mean with the holes, how they punch the holes and
yeah,
it rolls?
Well, you know, I don't know how they do it now, but
yeah.
How we did it. I remember doing it, but people that have player pianos still mention that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'd like to hear you.
I also recorded it somewhere down the road. So having said all that, I'd love to try to play it and for you, and I hope I can.
Oh, please. I'd love to hear your rendition.
Well, if I miss a part out, just stop me and say do that again or something. All right, here goes. Thank you. I stuck a little bit of my own stuff.
Oh, I liked that part the best at the end.
Well,
that was wonderful,
Marianne. I was thinking to myself, why can't I just stretch out a wee bit somewhere else on this thing?
Oh, you could have gone on forever when you got into that zone there.
Well, you know, you made me do it. If I didn't have you sitting here, I probably wouldn't have.
That was wonderful, Marianne.
But it's such a great tune. It really is. I'm just wondering, how long ago did you write that? Was that one of your real early things?
Yeah, Crystal Silence was in the early 70s when I had Return to Forever first going. I wrote that for the first album.
Boy. Well, I guess I must have learned it off the record or something. But, I was looking in the stack of LPs and I saw something by you with Stan Getz, Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when was that?
That was a little later. That was my second time around with Stan. First I worked with him in 67, but then in 71, I put a rhythm section together for Stan for a tour that he had with Tony Williams and Stanley Clark.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And
Airto.
And he asked me to bring in some tunes, and so he played the heck out of these tunes I brought.
Letha was one?
Letha was one from an earlier time, but Captain Marvel was one from a later time.
There you go, Captain Marvel.
Marvel.
Oh, I love that, Boston. Well, more in a minute. My guest is Chick Corea. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marianne McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, I'm thinking that I would really love to try another duet with you.
Yeah.
You've done them before. The last one seemed okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I wanted to do more.
Well, let's do more.
Yeah.
How about pick a tune? I don't know, Jerome Kern or one something.
Well, who wrote Yesterday's? Hit this one.
I think it was Jerome Kern.
Is that Kern? Yeah?
Yeah, we can do that.
Shall we?
Let's.
All right. Thank you. You went on. We were grooving. We were grooving hard.
I love that tune. I think partly because it's a minor tune. I love to, there's something special about minor tunes, so they seem to swing more or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but if I was having, I don't know who told me this, maybe Duke or somebody, that if you're having a bad night, play a minor tune.
Yeah.
He was probably thinking of one of his own. But that is a tune I love to play, and especially What We Did, Little Things. It's such fun playing with you, really.
That was fun. That was nice, Mary.
I enjoyed it. Well, there's more coming up. My guest is Chick Corea. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, you know, there's something I would love to try because you're so totally open with your music. I mean, you do anything and so many different things. Couldn't we do like a totally free, off-the-wall thing?
Oh, yeah. I would love to. Let's
No rules.
Okay. I'll follow you.
I'm hoping. Thank you.
was fun.
Oh, that was fun.
Marion, you're out there.
Am I?
Yeah.
You took me out there. It's fun, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There was a nice little melody in the middle part there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can take that, put that in your publishing company.
And smoke it.
That would be one thing to do. Hey, listen, this is too much fun for me. I may have a heart attack or something. But anyway, Chick, thank you so much for doing Piano Jazz again.
Oh, it was a great pleasure, Marion, and you've been just such a constant, stable musical point of inspiration through the years.
Oh, thank you.
And I really, really appreciate it, and I want to thank you very, very much.
Well, it's lovely to have you. Okay, well, let's see if I can play a little bit of Spain. I sure would love to.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, I always think of this as one of your great tunes. And in fact, years ago, I had a symphony arrangement made of this. It's got so many parts to it, so you'll just have to sort of lead me along.
Okay, we'll play just the meaty part, and we'll leave the frills off.
The meaty part. Okay, the whole thing is meaty.
Okay.
All right, you start it, and just tell me what to do when.
Okay. Thank you.
that thing.
Yeah, that was good.
It's wonderful.
Fantastic.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest, Chick Corea. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with outstanding jazz artists. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Dan Hoppler, post-production engineers David Mitchell and Skip Beach. The production manager is Audrey Shiflett, production intern Jeanette Deloach. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the guests and music on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Artworks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, and from NPR member stations. Support for the original production in 2002 was provided by the Baldwin Piano Company and by Borders Books and Music. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.